Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Richard Ahn, the guitarist for OAR, the rock band that came out of Rockville, Maryland. I just spoke with Mark Roberge, the front man, a few seconds ago, and now it's a pleasure to talk to the guitarist. Richard, thanks for coming on.
No, thanks for having me. How's it going?
It's going good. Mark was just saying how he loved driving around listening to WTOP with his dad. Did you listen to us back in the day, too?
Yeah, I mean that's how we got our news when we weren't at home. So it was a classic memory for me growing up in the area.
That's great. And he was saying that you guys formed during an eighth grade talent show performance of Eric Clapton. Do you have any memories of that?
No. Yeah. Well, it wasn't Eric Clapton's version. It was this punked out, tall muted rock version of "Wonderful Tonight." And my memory was that I was too nervous to stand up, and I think we all were, and we all sat on stools.
That's hilarious. And then your most recent album, you guys, it's the Rockville LP again, so you've come a little full circle here.
Yeah, you know, the inspiration for that record was literally the town that we grew up in. And, you know, every time you make a record, you pull inspiration from different things. And this time we found a lot of that in our hometown.
That's great. So talk about the event, why we're talking to you right now, the event that you were in town yesterday for. It's trying to promote arts here in D.C. How did you become a part of that?
Well, we met Bob Lynch, the CEO of Americans for the Arts, out in Sundance. Through the Robert Redford Circle. And they do a lot of work together promoting the arts.
What were you guys doing out of Sundance?
We were performing at a show called The Way of the Rain.
Okay.
And it's basically Robert Redford's wife, Billy, is an environmental artist. And she created these beautiful canvases, these silk canvases, that were painted with watercolor by the monsoon rains out in the desert. And she created this show around these canvases with modern dance and music and spoken word and all kinds of great other areas of art that could come together and tell a story. And we were honored to be a part of it. At the end, we performed our song piece.
And then you performed it again here for Steny Hoyer, right?
Well, Mark did. There was a guitar in the room. I'm sure I would have accompanied him. But
right. It was just the vocals.
Yeah, and he did great. He was put on the spot, but you know that's what we do. We rise to the occasion.
Now you guys have put out what, 8 studio albums? Is that right?
That sounds about right. I'm it's a little blurry. I have to actually count because there's so many. But yeah, it's around 8, and a couple live ones. Yeah.
How, are you surprised at the success, and still after all this time, and B, how has the music changed? How have you guys evolved musically over those albums?
Yeah, it's funny, someone was asking that the other day. We're coming up on our 20-year anniversary this year.
Oh, wow,
and,
yeah.
To think back when we first started, would we still be doing this? Like, I don't know. I mean, when you're that young, you just want to be in a band. You just want to make music with your friends, you know. You're not really thinking about that. And then as dreams start becoming a reality, you start taking it really serious, and you want to be smart about the decisions you make to make it last as long as you want, because you're living a dream, you know.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, in the beginning, if it was that my mindset back then yeah, I'd be really surprised that we're still blessed enough to do this. But, you know, considering all the hard work that we put in and a little bit of luck, you know, I think we made the right decisions to keep the machine rolling and keep the band going and the music going. So.
And how has the music itself evolved from that first album to now? If you look back,
I mean, it's evolved a lot. I think the passion and the energy and the heart that we put into making music is still there. But you know, you change the person growing up. Our first record was recorded when we were 16, and
wow,
there's a huge difference in, you know, who we were back then and who we are now, and all the life experiences that we've gone through since then. And even becoming better musicians, you know, coming from a guitar player perspective and a songwriting perspective, you know, you don't really know what you're doing when you're writing a song, which could be a blessing. It's a great thing to be innocent and write something that's really pure. But at the same time, I think as we've grown older, we've learned how to fine tune things. And, you know, we've just grown as musicians and songwriters.
Fantastic. Tell me a little more about, because I talked with Mark a lot about, you know, your eighth grade forming in the talent show and then and Wooten High School. But talk a little more about you guys when you went to Ohio State. How did the pieces continue to align at that point?
Well, we all decided that we would try to keep the band going and attend the Ohio State University together.
The.
I don't want to upset anyone.
it's you're contractually obligated after you graduate there to say it that way.
Yeah. So, you know, Mark and Chris were up there first. I was going to school in the area, and then after a semester I transferred. Ben was a year younger than us, so he was still a senior in high school. And we kept telling Ben, you got to come up here. And while he was going through his senior year, we met Jerry, our saxophone player. He's from Youngstown, Ohio, and he lives in the dorms with us. And he played in some other bands, and we all kind of just knew each other through this music scene in Columbus, Ohio. The funny thing is, this music scene was from people who weren't from Columbus, Ohio. It was a music scene that our friends brought from wherever they came from. And Ben finally made it up, and he got in. And we finally had the full band. We started playing shows together, and next thing we know, Jerry started playing a bigger role in our shows and within the business of the band, and then he joined the band, I believe in 1999 or 2000. And and then we were finally all there. We were touring locally, and there was a really big buzz about the band, so we decided that when we finished school, we'd hit the road full-time. And see how it went. And, you know, that was 15 years ago. So
now, I know you guys have had, national exposure and appeal for the last, over your career. But how important has this kind of local fan base been? I mean, have you had a really loyal following from people in this area as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And this area and also in Ohio.
Right.
You know, just because that was kind of like where we cut our teeth playing. We were too young while we were here to play anywhere that was like, you know, legit.
Right.
All the venues that we played were like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon before like the club opened in front of like our parents and like, you know, the employees at the bar. So we really cut our teeth in Columbus and touring around Ohio, but all those songs came from where we grew up here. And what we realized is those songs translated so well. It wasn't just about here. There were songs that everyone felt about their hometown. And Rockville just happened to be our hometown, which we hold very dear to us.
Right.
So, in that sense, you know, I think it was something that, that spread rapidly because everyone could relate to it.
Absolutely. Do you have when you're out there on stage, do you have a particular song from over the years that you enjoy playing the most and the one that you are tired of playing?
There's a reason why a lot of our old songs are longer than they are on the record on stage. and that's because we like to try to keep things fresh, not just for the audience, but for us. We never really play a lot of the old stuff the same way twice. Right. And it brings a musical challenge to us. It keeps us on our toes. I would say 90% of the time, I can look at Mark, I can look at Chris, Jerry, and Ben, and we all know exactly what's going to happen next. I would say 10% of the time, we think we do, and then it all comes crashing down. But that's exciting. That keeps us on our toes. Like, what's going to happen? And when it doesn't happen, we laugh about it, and it's funny, and we fix it. But, you know, I think that keeps it fresh for us, and it keeps it fresh for the audience, and it keeps us thinking as musicians, and we don't feel like it's Groundhog Day. You know what I mean? and the set lists are always different.
Well,
and,
that's Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, not Rockville, Maryland.
Hopefully everyone saw that movie and they know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. But yeah, it makes total sense that you want to, you know, keep playing new stuff and not going back with the old stuff at all. Is there one that, you know, fans request more than any others? Even if it's one that you've no longer played, do you hear from fans like, play this, play this?
I mean, there's a song called That Was a Crazy Game of Poker, and we've literally played that song every show. Maybe one show we didn't play it, and there's a huge amount of backlash because we didn't want to be pinned as this band that had to play the song, you know?
Right, right.
But then we realized something, like, our fans came to the show because they wanted to hear music, and they paid money to come see a show. And we realized that's you know, we're playing music for ourselves, too, but we're also here, we're entertainers. And we want people to feel satisfied. We want them to feel better than they did coming to the show when they leave. So for us, we really want to try to make everyone happy, and ourselves and everyone else who wants to hear their songs. And, you know, this one song that was a crazy game of poker, it's kind of taken on this, a life of itself where there's a lot of improvisation. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
The first half of the song is written and it's pretty solid, and we play that the same every time. But once it goes into the second half of the song, it's a journey, and I think a lot of people want to hear that because they don't know what's going to happen. That's probably the most requested song that we have, even though it's never had any radio play. It was never a single. I don't think there's any way in hell that radio would play that song just because it's so long.
Right.
But that's, yeah, and honestly, I really enjoy playing it. That's probably one of the highlights of the night, every night.
Awesome. And then in terms of the name, everyone hears OAR, and, you know, most people, especially your fans, know it's Of a Revolution, but explain the what went into forming that. Like, when you want it to be Of a Revolution, what are you guys trying to say?
You know, that name came from a short story that Mark wrote while we were in high school.
Really?
This is, like, just the very beginning, the genesis of the band. And we were trying to find a name for us. We were writing these songs. It was a very, it was a really magical time for us because going from not knowing how to write songs and just kind of being confused to just, you know, the music just kind of just started pouring out, the lyrics and the stories started pouring out. And that's when we realized that we had something special between the four of us at the time. This is before Jerry joined the band. And Mark came down in the basement and he said, "What do you think of this phrase?" And it was blank of a revolution. And the reason why I say blank is there was a word there, but at the time we just decided that no one else is going to know that word except for us. And
oh, come on.
To this day, no one knows except for us, I think.
Interesting.
Maybe it's out there somewhere where we someone leaked it, but you know, and the revolution was a revolution for four guys in a basement that just learned how to play their instruments, just learned how to be a band, just learned how to write songs together. That's what it was. It wasn't a musical revolution. We weren't reinventing the wheel or rock and roll. We found a type of music and style music that was our own, that we enjoyed playing. That was our little revolution in the basement.
Nice. Do you remember what Mark's short story was about? The one that inspired it?
Yeah, it was the story of the Wanderer. You know, I don't want to speak for him, but at 16, you don't really know anything.
Right.
I mean, I'm 36 and I don't know anything.
We still don't know anything in our 30s, man.
So, you know, back then you haven't really experienced anything. It's hard to write songs when you don't have any experience to write about. But Mark is such a great storyteller and has such a creative imagination that he was able to think of these characters in his head and tell their stories of things that they've been through. So it may not have been from personal experience, but it was the personal experience of these characters that that he had in his head. And The Wanderer, our very first record that we recorded when we were 16, is that story.
That's wild how such something so seemingly small and innocent, like a story or a class assignment or something, can inspire all this, which brings us full circle with why you guys are here promoting the arts. I mean, before we go, I mean, just speak to why this is an important cause for you. Why did you guys, I mean, you guys could probably do any kind of, you know, promotional cause or, you know, whatever. I'm sure you get asked stuff a bunch, but why this one? Why is promoting arts in schools and getting funding for arts important to you?
I think of my kids and I think of myself when I was a kid. And I think if I didn't have music or the arts to inspire me, then I really don't know what I would be doing. I think I'd be pretty lost. And I think the arts not only show me what I was supposed to do in life, it also gave me confidence as a youngin. You know, I think it's a pretty confusing time when you're a kid and you're trying to figure things out, and then when you finally realize that something you're passionate about and it moves you, and that you're not bad at doing it, it gives you confidence. So, you know, I want my kids to grow up in an environment where public school, public education embraces the arts, and they have the same opportunity to be inspired by the same things that I did when I was growing up, because I would hate for them to not know what they're supposed to be doing because they never knew that the arts existed.
Perfect. That's a perfect place for us to leave it. Thanks so much for joining us, Richard. It's a pleasure talking with you guys, and, you know, all the best and continued success for OAR.
Okay. Thank you, Jason.
All right, bye.